Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the dead will live again. The lame will leave, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am.
Amen. Thank you for that special. If you would take your Bibles with me, turn to Matthew in chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, the first book of the New Testament. And when you find your place there, if you would please stand to your feet with me when you find our scripture for this morning in Matthew chapter 1. We're told in the Bible, in the Old Testament, of one to be born in Bethlehem, of a counselor, the Prince of Peace, wonderful Emmanuel. We're told of a person, but we're given his name here in Matthew chapter 1. If you would look down with me in verse number 18, we're going to read 18 through verse 25. And if you'll join me in reading it, if you'll read verse 18, I'll read verse 19. So you take the even-numbered verses, and I'll take the odd-numbered verses, all the way through verse 25. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Would you read that with me, please, and begin? Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for that precious name above every name, that name which you said every knee will bow. I ask that you would meet with us together as we gather under that name of Jesus. Lord, please meet with us in a very special way this morning. Please use Pastor Becker. Give him the words, the thoughts. Give him clarity as he preaches. Give him wisdom and power to say what you would have said. And Lord, may we hear what you want us to hear and change our lives to be more like you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for joining us with the singing and the scripture reading. And I love Christmas time, and I love all that goes into it. But most of all, may we remember that Christmas is about Jesus. Amen. I will try that again. Let's most of all remember that Christmas is about Jesus. Amen. And it truly is. And I'm not against all the other things with Christmas, things that are, of course, right and holy and nothing wicked, of course. But I love the Christmas time and all the traditions and the memories and the parties and the get-togethers and all the stuff that we get to do. But it truly is about Jesus. Think about it. What does Christmas mean to you? Maybe it changes throughout the years, from when you're a child, maybe to a teenager, to a young couple, or maybe grandparents, senior saints. But to be honest, the times of year and the stages of life don't truly change the real meaning of what Christmas should mean to us as a Christian. Amen? And the world may not understand what Christmas means as a whole, but as Christians, we do know what Christmas is all about. Amen? And I want to challenge you today about the subject of Christmas, the message of Christmas. Over the next few weeks, I want to preach to you messages about the message of Christmas and really what the Bible continually teaches us about what Christmas is really about. And may we take the message that God has given to us about Christmas and to share that with others. Church, I want to encourage you with this. Don't get trapped in the commercialization of Christmas. Now, we do presents for our kids, and we do some for the bus kids, and we have fun with that. We enjoy it, and there's something about Christmas morning and all the fun that is. And as the older you get, the more it changes. As a child, it's more about what you get, and the older you get, what you can give, what you can do for others. They say that the average person spends $1,000 on gifts and meals during Christmas time. Be wise and careful when it comes to the Christmas season. You don't get into the commercialization. All right, let's take a poll this morning. How many of you did the crazy Black Friday shopping? You were up throughout the night, got up early in the morning. The one person that's shyly not wanting to raise their hand, there was one. I saw a video of people camped outside of Target in Chico and like 3 in the morning, and they took a video camera that went across and I say video camera, I mean a phone probably is what it means today. And they took a phone and they went across everyone in their chairs with their blankets and their hoodies and whatever. And they went through like, I don't know how many people, 50 people camped outside of Target to go and get a deal on a new TV that they're probably just buying for themselves anyway. Whatever the deal was, I don't know. I'm not going to miss whatever it was. I'm in the stage of life where I enjoy online shopping and shopping, and where you pick it out and it comes to you, and you don't have to fight any crowds, no crowds at all. They don't have to unlock anything and find it for you. It gets shipped right to your doorstep, and that's a miracle of Christmas. Amen. I love that part. Don't get trapped in the commercialization of Christmas and forget what Christmas is really about. Don't get trapped in all the decorations of Christmas, although our house is like a Christmas explosion right now, and it continues to grow. At 25 days till Christmas, I think that means to most ladies you have 25 days to keep decorating your house even more. To me, Christmas is really about the cookies. I haven't mentioned that in a while, but it's really about the Christmas cookies. And to be really in the Christmas spirit, I think we need them like today. Okay, I don't know if we'll get there or not, but don't get stuck. We love looking at the lights and the decorations, but don't forget what Christmas is really about. Don't get trapped in thinking that Christmas is all about Santa. Think about this for a minute. I know it's still November, but we're in the Christmas season anyway. Think about this. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. Santa Claus is coming to town. That sounds creepy, doesn't it, people? What are we teaching our children? My sister ruined Christmas on Christmas Eve. She ruined Santa. I can remember the place. I remember the moment she ruined that Santa is not real to me as a child. If you don't know that, I'm sorry I ruined it for you. But honestly, though, Christmas is about Jesus. It is about Jesus. There's so many things that are trying to take the place of Jesus today, not just at Christmas time, but throughout the year. And we better make sure we remember that Christmas is really about Jesus. As you look through the Bible, every verse, every passage, every book is a picture that Jesus Christ was going to come. We don't get the name of Jesus until we get to Matthew chapter 1. And in verse number 1, it says, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ. Every verse in the Bible is a picture that Jesus Christ is going to come. The Messiah, the Savior of the world, was about to come. And we're going to get a message from the Lord that's given to Joseph at this time. We'd see in verse number 23, they said, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, I love this, God with us. Amen? Isn't that a wonderful thought? God with us. Many gods today, there are gods from history, and there's gods somewhere else, but Jesus Christ came to be with us. I want to look at a message today that God gave to Joseph and what it means to us during the Christmas time, what it means to us as people, as families, as Christians today, the real message of Christmas. It talks about how Mary and Joseph, they were espoused, the Bible says in verse number 18, Mary and Joseph were espoused. To be espoused was similar to being engaged in our society, but it meant even more than that. It was more similar to marriage than being engaged. It was a formal binding agreement that if someone that was espoused were to separate from their spouse partner, they would literally have to be divorced. They would have to be separated. So they were espoused, but there was no physical relationship between the husband and wife. They had not been formally married at this point. They were espoused, Mary and Joseph were, in a legal sense. Mary was expecting a child. Now, before Joseph had heard anything about it, as you see in verse number 17, that Mary is found with child of the Holy Ghost, God had not spoken to Joseph yet. I bet there was a little bit of uneasiness with Joseph of not knowing what is going on. And the Bible says he was going to put her away privately or privately, and he did not want to make a public example of her to be with child before marriage. And so Mary was with child, she was expecting, but the father was not Joseph. She was brought with child by the Holy Ghost. And then in verse number 20, it says, while he thought on these things, look at the verse if you would please, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. As you look back in Scripture, you understand that these are people just like you and I. Joseph and Mary are people just like you and I, but people that God chose to use in a special way because they chose to set aside their life for God to use them. But as you can imagine with Joseph not knowing his wife being with child and what had happened, and then God put him in a dream and the angel of the Lord spoke to him and said, fear not, for Joseph, or for Mary, is conceived with child of the Holy Ghost, and this will be Jesus. And he will save his people from their sins. A special message that God gave to Joseph. I don't know about you, but I like to make plans. Are you, any of you plan makers out there? You like to make plans. I enjoy making plans. Here's the problem with my plans, though. We'll make a plan and put a list down and what we're going to do and where we're going to go. Here's the only problem. My plans don't generally work the way that I want them to work. Any of you like that as well? You know, we're going to go on a trip, on a vacation, or go somewhere, plan something special, and the plans that I have in my life never go according to how I want them to go, it seems. And as much as you may try to work the situation, it doesn't always seem to go exactly what you like you want. Many times the biggest events in our lives, the biggest plans that you have and you think of as a teenager, as a young adult, of how you think of life is going to turn out. And then later on in life, you look back and you go, I did not know it was going to turn out the way that it did, but that was God's plan. But God is about to reveal His plan to Joseph, how God was going to use him as a part of His plan. Isn't that a blessing that God chose to use humble people, not perfect? Mary and Joseph were not perfect people. We don't worship them. They're not saints. But God chose to use common people to be a part of His perfect plan. See, the message that the Lord came was that it was a message that we get to be part of God's plan. You know, Christians today, isn't it a blessing that God chooses to use common people just like you and me to fulfill His perfect plan in and through our lives if we choose to be willing to follow His plan? I don't know about you, but in my life, there's different times to where God called me, first of all, for salvation. That's the most important time in anyone's life, the moment and the day of your salvation. I remember as a boy, as a 9-year-old boy, that God was speaking to my heart and I realized that I was a sinner. I realized that I was on my way to hell and if I died without Christ, that very night, I can remember the day, the moment laying in my bed, that I realized for the first time that if I were to die without Christ, I would be in a place called hell, just like any other sinner, like any other person. But then I heard that God had a plan for my problem. Amen? And the plan was this, that over 2,000 years ago, the Savior that we read about that was about to come is the same Savior that we know that came over 2,000 years ago to be our Savior. And I remember realizing that I was a sinner and on my way to hell, but with Jesus Christ as my Savior, that He died to pay for my sins, that I could know that I would be going to heaven. I remember that day where I put my faith in Christ and I prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. I'm thankful that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, for me. Aren't you thankful that God came for you? And when God saved your life, you get to now, as a saved person, get to be a part of God's plan, otherwise known as God's will for your life. I preached about that some in the Sunday school hour, that God has a perfect plan and a purpose for every single person's life. Every young man, every young lady, every child, every adult, grandparent, whoever it may be, that God has a plan for your life. Aren't you thankful that you get to be part of God's plan? I can imagine being Joseph, not trying to put myself in the story, but in a way, I can imagine being Joseph and reading the Messiah was going to come, that Jesus was going to come, although they did not know His name yet at that point, and knowing the Messiah would come, not knowing when, and then when the message came from the angel to Joseph, realizing that he got to be part of raising the Son of God in his home, that he got the privilege to be a part of God's perfect plan. See, every man, woman, and child in this room today realize that God wants you to be part of His plan for your life. But here's the thing, God's plan for your life might be different than God's plan for my life. It's the same Bible, the Bible doesn't change, but God has a special plan and a special purpose for your life. And that God speaks to you, that He wants to use you, mother. God wants to use you, father or grandparent, for a special purpose in His life. See, the message that the angel came to tell Joseph is that you get to be part of God's special plan. Isn't it a blessing that we get to be part of God's plan in our lives? God could have chosen not to use us, but God chose to use us. Listen, I'm a sinner. Don't amen that part, okay? I'm a sinner. You can amen the part that you're a sinner if you want to, but I'm a sinner. When I look at me and I think, God, I know me and I know who I am, but even more than that, God knows who I am. And God says, I still want to use you. That's a blessing that we get to be used by God to be a part of God's plan for our lives. I don't want to miss God's will for my life. Do you, church? Amen? I don't want to miss God's will and God's plan for my life, and I pray that you don't want to either. God came to Joseph and said, I have a plan. and I want you to be a part of it. We see next that there was not only that Joseph got to be part of God's plan, but there was a promise that was fulfilled. As you skip down to verse number 22, it says, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled." See, there was promises given all through the Old Testament about a Savior that was going to come. But guess what? If God makes a promise, He always keeps His promises. Amen? He always keeps His promises. He will never fail of one jot or one tittle, the Bible says, of any small part that He will not fulfill. If God says it, it will come true. And we may say, well, it's been hundreds or thousands of years. God's timing is always perfect. Amen? All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child. She bring forth a son and call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." This is prophecy back to the book from the book of Isaiah. And God says, "I am fulfilling the promises that I made to my people that a Savior would come." And aren't you thankful that God kept His promise that a Savior did come? If Jesus Christ did not come, where would we be today? If God did not send His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to earth to die and to pay for our sins, we would have no hope. We would have no salvation. We would have no hope of heaven. But I'm thankful that God made a promise, and I'm thankful that God kept His promise. Amen? There's a promise that was given back through the Old Testament. There's a promise fulfilled. As you look in Scripture, by faith in the Old Testament, they looked forward to the Savior that would come. And now we, by faith, after the Scriptures have been given to us, we look back by faith that the Savior did come. Knowing this, that if God said it, it's true, it did happen. The Savior came to die and to pay for the sins of the world. There was a promise fulfilled. I'm thankful not only that we get to be part of God's plan, that there was a promise that was fulfilled, but this message was a message of God's provision. It was a message of God's provision. God sent Jesus to be born into a family. Amen? Into a home. God did not give Jesus to some institution or educational place. He gave Him to a family, to Joseph and to Mary. Now, as you know this, whatever way a child has come to your home, you know that it's an incredible announcement, but it's also a scary announcement, isn't it? When you get word your first child is going to be born, you think, this is great. And then you think, oh no, what are we going to do? You start getting things ready and preparing stuff, and you think, I think I'm ready for this. And then you get the child and you realize, I'm not ready for this, right? What am I doing? Why did they send me home with a child without an instruction manual some way, right? That's what I think, at least, and that's why God puts a wife in the home, to help the husband to realize how to raise the child as well. But God not only gave them a promise, but He helped and gave them provision. He gave Jesus to a husband and to wife, to Mary and to Joseph, that they'd raise in their home, that God would provide for this home, for the needs that they have. And they would, we'll go in more detail in the future, that Jesus was born not in an inn, not in a house, not in their own home, but in a stable. But notice that when God has a promise in your life, and when God has given you a task to do, that God will always provide. Amen? God will always provide. You know, looking back in my life, I look back at times where I worried, where I fretted, where I wondered, you know, where's the money going to come from? How is this going to get taken care of? How is this going to get fixed? What do we do with this problem? And you ever worry in life, right? And wonder, but then God helps and provides for you, and He provides for your needs, and you look back and think, God, I had nothing to worry about. Amen? That God took care of it all along the way. See, when you fulfill God's plan for your life and you are following God's steps and following His Word, God will always provide your needs. He will always provide your needs. Too many times we get nervous at times where we need to just have faith in God, where we think of running off and going AWOL and running away from the Lord. And God says, just stay faithful, child. I'll take care of you. Just stay faithful. I'll provide your needs in your life. And you know what? God is always faithful to provide, isn't he? Mary and Joseph, I can imagine they went, who's going to be born in our home? And we're going to do what? And what are people going to say? And they probably had all the questions in their mind. But then they realized that God was going to take care of it. Amen? That God's going to take care of all their needs. You know what? In our life, we might have questions and the world may wonder and they may say things, but you just stay faithful to God at the times where you question and you doubt and maybe you lack faith and watch God provide for you. Amen? You just stay faithful to church and God will provide. You just stay faithful to your Bible time and your prayer time, and God will continue to provide. We see God's provision, but also we see this is a message of a privilege that they had. This message that was given to Joseph was a privilege. We kind of mentioned it already a bit, but that Jesus Christ was born and was going to be put in the home of Mary and Joseph. Now, I don't know what you would have thought, but again, putting myself in that place, I would have kind of thought, was there someone else you might would have rather chosen than me? Would you have been there maybe? But God, you know me, and we don't have it all figured out. And maybe they're thinking, you know, we haven't paid for the house yet, and the job's not coming through like I would like to, and we're just engaged anyway, and all the questions that they had. But as you look at it, that God chose to use Mary and God chose to use Joseph. And I believe you understand that when God chooses to use you, that's a privilege. Amen? It's a responsibility, but it's also a privilege that we get to live for God. Amen? It's a privilege that we get to serve God. Now, your child is not the Savior, is not the Messiah, and I'm not trying to make a joke about that, but when you have a child to raise in your home, that's a privilege, isn't it? That's a blessing that you get to raise your child for the Lord. Now, your child's not perfect, and no one's child is, but it's a privilege to raise your children for the Lord, to realize that God, through a miracle, put that child in your home to be raised by a mother and by a father, and for you to raise them according to God's word, and realize that is such a privilege and a responsibility, and maybe the greatest privilege and responsibility that you'll ever have in your life. Until you become a grandparent. Amen, grandparents? And then realize the real greatest privilege in life is that, as my father-in-law would say, the reason that you have children is so that you can have grandchildren someday. And what the privilege that is in your life as well. You know this, as you look back in your life, you can look back and you see what God has already done in your life, haven't you? Do you ever stop and look back and you say, God, look at where you've brought me from. Look at where I grew up and look at the home you put us in and the family and the jobs and maybe the place that you moved to. And you see God's hand moving in your life. And you look back at the times, excuse me, I'm done with the sickness, but the sickness is not done with me. And the cough that does not want to fully go away. Apologize for that. But you look back at God's hand in your life. And you know the times where you by faith just step out and say, God, I know you told me to do this, so I'm just going to do it. God, I know you told me that you provide, so I'm just going to trust that you'll provide. God, I know that you told me that you have a plan for my life, and I'm just going to step up by faith, and I'm going to follow you, not knowing how it's all going to work out, but I'm just going to trust you, God, because guess what, church? We have a message from the Lord today. Amen? Aren't you thankful that you get to hold in your hand the very word of God? And although Joseph got a message from the angel of the Lord, we have a message today, and it's called God's holy word. Amen? And we have the word of God to help and to guide us in our life. And when you have questions, go to the word of God. When you have worries, go to the word of God. When you don't know what to do, you guessed it, go to the word of God. When you think you know what to do, go to the word of God. And we have the message from God for our lives to help and to guide us through each and every step of our lives. You know, Christians today, we have too many Christians today that are really living their lives without God guiding their lives. May we get back to the place where we say, God, I have a message from you. I have some decisions I need to make. What does the Bible say that I should do with my life? You know that God always blesses obedience to His Word? Amen? Let's try that again. God always blesses obedience to His Word. Amen? When you trust and you follow God and say, God, I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't have it all figured out. And guess what? That's 99% of the time. Even when you think you have it figured out, you don't. But God has a plan that's bigger than your plan and is bigger than my plan. And understand this. God knows the past. He knows the present. And He knows the future. See, God knows everything. And when God has a message for you, husband, wife, father, mother, grandparent, child, when God has a message for you, just listen to it. Just trust Him because God's plan and God's way is always best, isn't it? God's way is always best. When you trust and obey and follow Him, His way is always best. And God will always take care of you. We'll look at further passages in the coming weeks about messages that God gave to different people through the Christmas story. But if you put yourself in Joseph's place, God has a plan for you. God has a special task for your life that you get to be a part of God's perfect will if you'll simply trust and follow Him. With head bowed and eyes closed, please, this morning. Most importantly, God's